Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Now, for those of you who were at the men's breakfast yesterday, we had a fantastic discussion about this virus that's been going around, and we also talked about the mega virus that no one is talking about, and the time is certain, I put it there, is the sin virus who will survive it. You know, because everybody's talking about the percentage of people who are being infected by this or that, and you know, I remember years ago I had a bulged disc. You know, it got corrected. I just had to look up the heavens. And just, you know. Anyway, some people said it comes with age. I just disagree with that. A lot of things come with age, but not to you and me, of course, because we come to CRK. And but when I went to my, you know, doing my physical every year, I told the doctor, I said, look, I just want you to write down that I had a bulged disc and I'm okay. And he started laughing. I said, why? Why are you laughing? He says, you know, when you go on the streets and you walk there, he says, 80% of people are walking with bulged discs and they have no idea. And it's interesting. The reason I say this is that because there are so many people out there walking with illnesses or viruses or coronas or whatever it is, and they've got no clue, right? But I can guarantee you that everybody is walking out there, they've got this virus that is killing them. Some have found a cure, and some have tried religion, and some others are just, have got no clue what sin is. We don't talk about sin in churches anymore. Have you realized? You know, everything about, you know, socially, how we could be more active, and how we could be nice to towards one another. It just doesn't work. You can't be nice to everybody. Good as Christian you are, there's some people you can't stand, right? I just be honest about it at least and go from there. Versus as a Christian, I'm called to love everybody. Yeah, you're called to love everybody, but do you love everybody?
No.
Well, I try. Well, let's just go not trying. Just tell us if you do. No. Why? Because. And there are like points and sub-points attached to that. But I want to take you on a journey today. I want to take you on a journey. Then I want to travel to some countries, and these countries have been on the news just recently. So I'm going to start, you know, let's go to, you know, let's go to Syria, I guess. You know, that country has been on the news for so many months, and there's a lot of terrible things that are happening, especially in the north of Syria. I was following a story of a little kid, you know, she was a year old, that, you know, her father taught her that, you know, whenever you hear a bomb, you could smile because it's fireworks. Mm-hmm. So this girl was just, you know, every time you could hear, she was being interviewed, there's a bomb goes off and she smiles her head off. And everybody laughs around her in the midst of all this chaos. And I've been following her news, and eventually she ended up as a refugee in Syria, in Turkey, and now they're trying to cross the border, her and her dad, but the Greek authorities have stopped the refugees to come in. Whether right or wrong, we cannot judge. You see, a lot of the times we expect certain people to do certain things towards certain people. I say, well, let's start with you. Would you open your doors and invite strangers to your home? If the answer is yes, then you have the right to speak on behalf of others. So we are always expecting things from others, but we ourselves are not willing to do. So these kids, and thousands of them, are refugees. They don't even have tents to sleep in, and they don't even have food to eat. They are being bombarded by tear gas now because they are, you know, whenever they come close to the border, they're pushed away. So that's the situation there, and it's been going on for the past 10 years. And then they were interviewing another guy who just yesterday lost his mother, his sister, his father, when the building was bombed, and he was the only person who survived. He's 17 years old. Go and figure that out. Now, then you go to the country of Yemen, and which has been, you know, the war between Houthis, and I can't remember what the other part was. You know, they've got funny names. And thousands of people have been dying there, you know, on a daily basis. You know, war has been claiming more lives in the world than any viruses combined. But it just seems no one is interested to hear about these things. Here are some statistics that I've put together just to take your mind off your corona beer or virus. Now, every 15 seconds, a child dies of hunger in the world. every 15 seconds. This 3.1 million children die every year from hunger. And you might think this is crazy. It is crazy. It's something that we can prevent, but we are not, because of our selfishness. Every 40 seconds, a person commits suicide in the world. That brings the number to 800,000 people die every year out of suicide. And in our nation, if you did not know, every hour, 22 soldiers commit suicide. Sorry, every hour or every day. It's one of those statistics. I think it's every day. 22 U.S. soldiers die of suicide. But again, you know, if you don't see the news headlines or I mean, that's you know, how many lives the virus has claimed so far in the U.S.? 19. We're talking about 22 deaths through suicide every day. But it just seems it doesn't make headline. As of November 2019, 335,000 people died as a result, innocent people died as a result of war on terror. People were just like I was telling you about this guy who lost his mother and father, and yet it does not make a headline. In 2018, there were 16,214 non-negligent murders in the USA. Actually, people went and murdered somebody willingly. That's just in 2018. The number is 16,214. That's just in the USA. According to 2018 statistics, 93 people were murdered in the country of Mexico every day. Every day, 93 people. Again, would you see this covering the world headline? I mean, the BBC did not cover it, or Fox News, or CNN, whatever news you watch. But those are big numbers, but yet no one is covering them. 862,000 kids were murdered in their mother's womb in 2017 here in America through abortion. Now, this is good news, not the abortion itself, because the numbers went down from the previous year of 926,000. Yet 862,000 deaths, no one reports about these things. Yet we have assemblies who are trying to even accelerate the number of murders, even after or during birth, that a person can have a right to kill. Isn't that fascinating? Now, 130 Americans die. And also, let me just put it that since the inception of abortion in 1973, 54 million kids were murdered. No wonder amongst them there would have been scientists who would have found a cure for cancer, maybe. Amongst them there would have been people, kids who would have found this coronavirus would not even have been a virus. But it's fascinating how we look at things just upside down. 130 Americans die every day from drug overdose. This was an interesting statistic. 277 divorces happen in America per hour. 66,646 per day. That brings it to 2.4 million divorces every year. Did you know that 606,880 people died of cancer in the USA in 2019? Now, these are some statistics. And the reason I bring these things up, there must be a bigger danger to our world than the coronavirus that no one is talking about. And it's been going on for years and years and years. And the question becomes, why? Why are people not talking about these statistics? That is just taking the lives of so many in the world. That is just destroying lives on a daily basis. It's separating families. And politicians are not interested to hear about these things. People are not interested to talk about these things. But mainly because it just does not bring home these things, like what's happening in Yemen, in the war-torn countries. Maybe it's far from us, so therefore let me just separate myself. What happens there, I feel sad, I feel bad, I wish there was a better situation. But when these things are just in our communities and in our homes, then we start thinking about it very differently, because the fear factor kicks in. I can assure you that those who are living in places like Idlib or other war-torn countries, the last thing on their mind is the coronavirus. They don't even know what that is because they've got bigger problems to deal with on a daily basis. When people are going through immense hardships in life, that they are dealing with battles that is just beyond them, I can assure you that the fear of coronavirus is just the last thing on their minds. Now, the reason I bring all these things to you, to this picture here, is that there is a virus called sin, and it's been in existence since humanity left the Garden of Eden. The problem is no one has really taken it seriously except Jesus. And he paid the penalty for sin on the cross. That's why we have Good Friday. And I want to bring you this story of all the stories of the Bible, but I want to bring you the story of the first family ever lived on planet Earth. It was a marriage made in heaven that ended up divorcing themselves from God when this virus entered into their system. Now imagine when everything is provided for you. You don't have to elect Bernie Sanders to get this. God provided everything back then. I mean, you could walk in the garden. You could just know, there's no credit card debts. There are no school loans. Nothing. One commandment. Don't eat from the fruit of the tree. Now, by the way, it was not apple. That's a picture of apple. But when you enlarge it, the apple goes into a virus. But don't eat from the fruit of that tree. And then the moment they ate, because they had free will. They had free will to, God did not create us as robots, but God gave them the free will to choose between they want to follow the way of the world or they want to stay faithful. You stay faithful, I will be your Lord and I will be your God. But it's interesting that temptation sets in, Satan comes into the picture, and then of course it was too tempting not to eat it. I always say when there's temptation, don't flirt with it. Turn your back, walk away, run away. You are not capable, as strong as your faith is, to stand firm in the presence of temptation unless you are Jesus, the Christ. And you're not, and I'm not. So let's not kid ourselves. Now, when it comes to this thing that, God created beautifully and they just fell where sin entered into their system, which is the very first virus. And it's an interesting virus. No cure has been ever found through the Lutheran Church, Catholic Church, Protestant Church, Presbyterian Church, all these churches that have come and gone or come or still coming. No one has found a cure for it. You see, it will kill you. And it has three types of, and no one will survive it. Those are the realities that the Word of God puts it to us. The survival rate is, zero. Death rate, 100%. So it's bad news, isn't it? And Scripture clearly tells us, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, it says, for the wages of sin is death. I mean, you cannot escape it. And there are three types of death. Did you know that? Physical, spiritual, and eternal. Now, if people understand this and not run towards the cure, then they are utterly foolish. The cure has been found. God provided the cure in the Garden of Eden. You know what he said to Satan? The seed of the woman is going to crush your head. Thousands of years before even Jesus was born, God prophesied Jesus' birth, that he will be who will bring the cure to the world, so that those who put their trust in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is the message of the cross and of the gospel. Now, I put the word there, for the wages of sin is death. But, I thank God there's a but there. A big one. But the gift of God is eternal life. It is a gift. Absolute gift. You don't do anything to deserve it. You embrace it or you reject it. Now, somebody can give you a gift. This is what you could do. I don't want your gift. Or you could say, how much is it? Well, gifts cannot be purchased. Otherwise, they stop being gifts. And it's freely given. The only thing you need to do is accept it or reject it. The problem with humanity today, they don't want the cure because they want to be in control of what they want to do with the cure. Because the cure will limit you to do certain things. Right? What a sad story, though. Yet everything that is happening to humanity is a result of this virus. Adam and Eve leave you know, with the Garden of Eden. They've got two sons. Remember the story? Abel and Cain. Abel and Cain were brothers who grew up in the same house. There were no Twitters or Facebooks or social media. You know, we blame everything on the social media nowadays. No one talks about sin. Yeah, those are terrible things at times if you're not used properly. But Abel and Cain, they had no Facebook, no TV, nothing. They even did not know about murder. Yet, you know, when it came to worshiping God, Abel worshiped God in the way God asked him to. And Cain wanted to become very creative. I don't need to go to church. I could do it from my own home. Do you hear that often? I don't need to attend church. I can say a prayer at home. Right? That's just worshiping God the way you want it. God says, you know, you need to come in the assembly and worship me. Because it does something to your soul. And people assemble throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. We come up with a lot of theories, that very creative ways of worshiping. It just doesn't work. God demanded Abel and Cain to worship him through a sacrifice. And Abel did what God required of him. Cain said, all right, I want to be more creative. I want to get some harvest from here and harvest from there. And God just still loved both of them. But he rejected Cain's worship and accepted Abel's worship. So Cain was jealous. Now that virus, sin, causes jealousy as well. Do you think jealousy exists today? So it's something that it's mutating and passing on, this sin virus. It doesn't just stay in us, but it just spreads to our children. We're born with it. So Cain says, how dare my brother? How dare my brother's worship is accepted and mine is rejected? So he takes a rock. There were no guns back then. He takes a rock and just kills his brother. First World War did not take place in 1912 or 1915. It was in the Garden of Eden. That's where war started. A brother killing a brother because they were infected both with the virus. Once was controlled by God. The other wanted to, you know, he was a freelancer. He just wanted to do anything he wanted. Yet even then, you see the heart, the forgiveness that God brings upon Cain. He protects even Cain, even then. You know, the cure, even if you're, I always say, and it's a hard thing for me to say, even people who are beyond salvation, God can save them because it's his business and not ours. So Cain's punishment should have been death. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But the laws were not introduced yet. Later on, they're going to be introduced to protect the community of Israel in the desert. You know, when there are a lot of people, you need to have certain laws. You know, when there was leprosy amongst Israel, there had to be some laws about quarantine to protect others from catching the same disease. So here, but the sin factor was right there, and it produced jealousy. What about envy? What about killing? What about murder? What about coveting thy neighbor's wife? What about worshiping other gods? These are all results of this virus. Do you understand the seriousness of this? People don't pay attention to sin, and we're replacing sin with another theology. Feel good about yourself. Oh, God loves you. Yeah, I know that. I don't know that. He is okay with you. Just come to him as you are. Yeah, I will. Do I need to repent? No. You're okay. Well, there's no repentance? No, it's fine. Well, I feel like I should be doing this. Well, it's okay. As long as you don't hurt anybody. I'm going to steal a bank. Okay. That's your desire to do that. It's okay, but just don't hurt anybody. And make sure you give some of the money to the poor. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I mean, this is going to the extreme. But we've come to justify anything. Anything. And then we wonder what's wrong with humanity. And then something, coronavirus comes, which is a direct result of the mother of all viruses. All ailments in this world come because of the mother of all viruses called sin. But no one wants to talk about it. Even churches have stopped talking about it because it offends people, apparently. Yet those churches who have stopped to talk about sin and repentance and salvation which is the gospel, the essence of the gospel, then they have no right to be a church of Jesus Christ anymore. We have watered down, people have watered down so much that there's the cure is not found in the church anymore. There's no more fear of the Lord in society. So therefore, there's a fear of these unseen viruses, so much so it creates panic. I wish people will panic in the same manner regarding their eternal salvation. The world will be a whole different place. There was a time where people were so scared of their eternal souls, especially in places like Germany, where the Catholic Church was selling indulgences as they were building the St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, that, you know, they were selling these indulgences by saying, you want your soul, eternal soul, to be saved? And people were saying, absolutely, then buy this. I mean, with all kidding aside, there was this urgency. People don't care about their eternal home anymore because they are too busy building homes here. And I'm not talking about just physical homes. Christians have a duty to preach the gospel even if it falls on empty ground. But never change it because it's not ours. And I'm not going to, you know, I'll share this with you. You know where I stand about marriage, you know. It's between one man and one woman, and I respect everybody else's opinion. I don't embrace it, but I respect everybody's opinion. Recently, I was tested. Somebody came in and says, well, what do you think about alternative styles of marriages? I said, I don't think much. And I didn't want to get into these arguments, you know, because you get cold names. But sometimes you're so shy and embarrassed and fearful to offend anybody. So he asked a specific question, which I kind of knew that I'm not going to answer it. Then I said, all right, let me ask you this question. And I shared this at the Bible study yesterday. And a lot of people are scared even to talk like this nowadays. I said, look, I know a couple, I said, they're so much in love together. And I've known them, I said, since they were kids. And they just want to marry. They live together, I said, today. But it just happens that they're brother and sisters. I said, don't you think we should change the laws to accommodate people like that? He says, absolutely not. That's just wrong. I said, who made you say it's wrong? He says, everybody knows. I said, I don't think. I'm just asking you a question and you're just rejecting. Where is your authority? He says, even the Bible, he said, says it's wrong. I said, all right. So we can pick and choose. I says, well, you're a difficult person to talk to. I said, I'm just trying to put things in context. Now, not many of us want to talk like this because we don't want to offend people. As Christians, we must be humble servants of the Almighty God. And with it, it comes rejection. But the gospel that we preach, if it's pure, it will change lives. The reason we have lost power, because we've washed the gospel down to a level where it just doesn't have power anymore. I still believe, as it was 2,000 years ago, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. Now this is an offensive message, but it's not my message. Go and deal with God. And sometimes we make it our message. It's not our message. I wish it was, then I will defend it. The Word of God does not need defending. It stands by itself. Sometimes we get into these stupid arguments, trying to defend the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates right to the heart. And it goes right into the bone and the marrow. God has power to make the impossible possible. The only thing He asks you and me is to be loving people, even love our enemies, which is the hardest thing to do. Loving your enemy. Lord, can I just like 10% of the time be bad boy? It's 10% to get it out of my system. No. Vengeance is mine, leave it to me. But what about 2%, Lord? Get back. We argue with God, right? And then we get nowhere. But we do feel when injustice is being done to us, especially to us, and you know it's injustice. It's not, has nothing to do with your personality. But when something really happens, injustice, then you know it's wrong, and everybody is just, you know, ignoring it, yet you know that there needs to be something done right. Maybe just, Lord, if I just punch him once, not twice, just once, I could put, no, bears, vengeance is mine. Leave it to me. But God, leave it to me. And the greatest challenge is to have the gift of patience. Because it might not even happen in your own lifetime. God's ways are very different than our ways. And God's plans are very different than our plans. Our task today, tomorrow, in the days to come, is not to be politically correct. It's not to be emotionally correct. It's not to be spiritually correct. It's to be biblically correct. Because God is the one who found a cure for sin. Not you or me. And no matter how many prayers you say, if people don't deal with the sin factor, they've not dealt with anything. Now the question becomes, Lord, or Pastor Beard, I'm telling you, I've dealt with my sin, but I still feel jealous. I still feel angry. I feel all the things that non-Christians feel. I say, yeah, you're a human being. You're still trapped in this body. And then even the Apostle Paul says, whenever I'm trying to do good, evil is right there beside me. Then he says, my spirit is willing, but my body is weak. Well, this is the body, that's why it dies, it expires, it ages. Not mine, but, you know, just generally everybody else's, right? But eventually it expires. Did you know that we all have an expiry date? And thank God we don't know the date. Because we'll panic. We'll all go to Costco. I don't know what we would do. But we'll all go there and just, whatever we will do, we will panic. But we all have an expiry date. But the good news is, if the sin has been cured, life starts right after we close our eyes and sleep. True life starts. If we're cured from the virus. And Jesus is the cure. The cure has been found. And let's not apologize for it. Now what we've done over the years, we've turned this cure into religious power. Where religious people had power over people. And they said, all right, let's take the cure away from Jesus. And have it in our hands because people are scared. They want to find the cure. And the church, unfortunately, or people, I shouldn't call it the church, but people, start having power over people's souls. That's not the church. That's not the cure. That's just religion. The word religion is man-made. Now it's interesting. Do you remember that debate about worship between Jesus and the Samaritan woman? You know, Jesus is, you know, he's breaking every rule that the religious people did not want to break. Now the Jews never associated with Samaritans. So Jesus wants to associate with Samaritans because they are his enemies. So he goes and instead he's going to Galilee, instead of going around Samaria, he wants to go across Samaria. And then he sits at the well waiting, you know, he knows that this Samaritan woman who's just, you know, her life is just a mess. She comes to draw water in the middle of the day. Why not in the morning or afternoon? Because people just did not like her. So she wanted to avoid people because her life was a life of shame. And then she draws water and then Jesus is there. He says, can I have a drink? And then she realizes he's a Jew and a man. How can a man, a Jew, ask a Samaritan for water? And he says, look, if you know who is asking for this, he's going to give you a living water. And he says, oh my goodness, let me go and get, you know, let me go and get my husband as well, right? But then eventually she turns out to be having many husbands and the last person she's living with is not the husband. I mean, Jesus tells her life and she's scared. You know, when people panic, they turn conversation into religion. Have you ever seen? Or politics. Those two things, you don't like them. And then she says, you Jews worship in Jerusalem and we here on this mountain. And Jesus says, well, wait a second. There's a time that's coming that true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And spirit and truth are found in the gospel. You take those two elements from worship, there is no worship. You just go and sit and go up and light a candle or not light a candle. It becomes a routine. It has no power. Those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth.
We are exempt. Those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will survive. 100% survival rate. We will go through this physical death though. But wow, blessed are those who have found the Lord. Because even if they gain the whole world, they don't have the world. If they lose their soul, the world, and they've lost their souls, what is it there to gain? Nothing. So my friends, your job is not to save people. It's to speak the truth in love. Don't go out and tell people, hey, I know the truth, do you know? You're damned to hell. Ha ha ha! That's good to hear. Where's my enemy? He doesn't know the Lord. Do you believe in Jesus? Of course not. You're going to hell. And a lot of Christians do that just to feel good about themselves. I think that's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is even loving and lovable. And that's a hard thing to do. I still don't understand fully and comprehend because I'm not Jesus. When he was dying on the cross, he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. For they do not know what they're doing. That prayer was imitated by Stephen, the very first deacon of the church. He died like his Lord when he was being stoned to death by the enemy. He prayed and he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them, for they do not know what they're doing. I wonder if somebody really annoys you to a point where you want to punch him. It happens to me every day at practice. Not really. But do we ever say, Lord, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. And more importantly, am I ready to forgive them? Not reconcile them. Some people think that if you forgive somebody, you have to become their best bodies. That's not biblical. You can forgive. Reconciliation is built on trust. And when there's no trust, there's no reconciliation. And it's okay. But you always have to forgive. That is mandatory in the Bible. And it's not easy. It's not automatic. You say, I'm going to forgive. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. It's not forgiven. You really struggle. You have to struggle with forgiveness. And sometimes it takes a day. Sometimes it takes a minute. And sometimes it takes a year. But don't leave it for too long because it's going to eat you up from inside out. We need to forgive and let go and let God be the avenger. But the good news is, my friends, coronavirus has an expiry date. Don't tell the government or the CDC. This is my prediction. All the viruses will come and go. Those are signs from God. I wonder if CNN and Fox News and BBC and all the other news channels were there during Pharaoh's reign. Remember all the boils and diseases that came upon Egypt? Very few recognized it was from the Lord. Very few. The rest were saying, well, it's the locusts came and ate all the land. You know, there are locusts are eating lands in Pakistan, in Africa today, like in, you know, in a major way. But no one is really reporting it. I wonder what signs God is sending from above, because all diseases will not function or come to this world unless God allowed it. Did you know that? That's biblical. Nothing happens in this world without God's permission. So I always look at it from the balcony. I say, I wonder what God is trying to do here. At this time, I'm going to quote my son. Now, a few weeks ago, I was talking about persecution in China, persecution in Iran, and there's a lot of Christians who are dying for their faith in these lands. Churches are being demolished. And I don't know, my son put it together. He says, you know, kids are not dying in these lands. Men are dying from the disease. I say, yeah, in China and Iran, especially those two numbers are very high. He says, I wonder because they are persecuting the Christians and they're killing, those men are killing the Christians and God is punishing them. Oh, he doesn't have a theological degree. I'm embarrassing him like hell. No, you can't, you're not allowed to say the word hell. But that's a theologically accurate word as well. Now, did you know, and not many people talked about this, this very doctor, this Chinese doctor who found the coronavirus months ago, and eventually he died, that he was a born-again Christian. No one talked about it. His last testament is a quote from the Bible. I have fought the good race. Who says that? Paul. is quoting Paul and then dying. Now, I don't know. I know where he is. It's a shame for his wife and kids. But no one wants to talk about faith matters in the middle of this mess. But the only power that can change this situation is the power of prayer. It will go and just hit it right into its head and just finish the virus. But I do believe God is testing humanity again. He did it through Ebola, but Ebola was very far. He did it through SARS. There's so many names that you just can't keep up with it. Spanish flu. But all these unseen things, it just causes so much mayhem. Yet, some are coming to faith in the midst of all this mayhem. And maybe God is using mayhems even to bring some people to Christianity and save them from the real virus. I don't know God's mind. If I talk like this on the streets, they'll say, which medication are you on? Well, what I'm saying, it's not foreign from the Bible. The problem is, people are not reading their Bibles. And I pray that as we move forward this week, that we will see the hand of God in a very powerful way as he moves upon this earth. And even through these tragedies that are happening, people will come to Jesus and be saved. Amen.
Amen.